It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll discuss the Supreme Court's decision this morning not to take up any same-sex marriage cases.
First, late last month, we received news that beloved Wisconsin author Ben Logan passed away at the age of 94. He was best known for his 1975 memoir called The Land Remembers, in which Logan wrote about growing up on a farm in southwest Wisconsin and his relationship with the land.
Over the years, the tale has become a favorite among readers and Chapter a Day listeners, having been brought back numerous times by popular request. Here's WPR's Carl Schmidt reading the introduction of The Land Remembers.
Once you've lived on the land, been a partner with its moods, secrets, and seasons, you cannot leave. The living land remembers, touching you in unguarded moments, saying, "I am here, you are part of me." When this happens to me, I go home again, in mind or in person, back to a hilltop world in southwestern Wisconsin. This is the story of that farm and its people. That land is my genesis. I was born there, cradled by the land. And I am always there, even though I have been a wanderer.
With that kind of beginning, it's hard not to get drawn into the story. We'll talk more about that story and the man behind it and hear about how Logan's seldom-seen farm, the land described so beautifully in the book, was preserved and protected in recent years.
One of the people involved in that preservation effort joins us now. Tim Jacobson is the CEO of Visionaire Consulting and Communications and executive producer of the Emmy-nominated documentary film Mysteries of the Driftless. Tim, thanks a lot for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, Tim, a lot of us know Ben Logan was the author of a famous book about the land in Wisconsin, but it may be that that's where our familiarity ends. Aside from the book, who was Ben Logan?
Well, Ben was a very warm and wonderful person. I didn't get to meet him until his later years. It was 2008 when I met him. I was serving as executive director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy in La Crosse, and he and his farm were brought to my attention in terms of an interest in permanently protecting seldom-seen farm, and that's when I got to meet him.
What was that meeting like?
Well, Peter Annan, who's another Wisconsin author, had found out from an interview that Ben had given that he was concerned about his farm and whether after he was gone there would be no way to ensure that it remained a farm. And so he communicated with his friend Mike Striegel at Gathering Waters Conservancy in Madison, who connected with me, about what we could do to help Ben out. And a meeting was arranged, and we actually, I think I first met him on his farm, and we had a nice talk there. And then shortly thereafter, we met as a group of people out at the Elder Leopold Legacy Center and had a really wonderful meeting talking about the farm and Ben's wishes for the farm, and what we could do to protect it. And I just always found Ben to be incredibly, you know, warm, generous person. And it was just to hear his thoughts and ideas about our Wisconsin landscape and how he had taken, you know, Elder Leopold's ideas of a land ethic and really breathed more life into that in terms of how he told about that in the context of his upbringing on the farm was just really remarkable. And what a wonderful storyteller.
And that book, The Land Remembers, it continues to move forward today. People still love it. They still love hearing it on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a fan favorite. What do you think it is about that book, The Land Remembers, that seems to transcend time?
Well, you know, there's something about kind of a rural lifestyle and farms, I think, in general that people identify with, but yet folks who maybe have not grown up in rural areas, you know, wouldn't have a way to necessarily feel a personal connection. But when you read Ben's story, it makes you feel like you were there, like you were almost part of his upbringing on the farm, and that just sense of genuineness, the care and respect for the land, the sense of responsibility for, you know, what we have here with the earth, the nature, it just really comes through in a very personal, powerful way. It's hard to explain how it can grip a person and make you feel a part of it all.
It's interesting because I expected before I did a lot of research that he would have stayed on Wisconsin his whole life, but he was a wanderer, as he said, but the land always drew him back. How did he write about that relationship?
How did he write about the relationship? Well, I think in terms of, you know, retelling, you know, he wrote the book or published it in 1975, and he had already been gone from Wisconsin, I think, for a very long period of time. And so, you know, one of the things related to that that he told me when I was talking to him was that he had a sense that people were becoming really disconnected from the earth, that there seemed to be a growing lack of respect for nature and the land. And he was also concerned that in literature that people of the land were not very well represented. And that was a motivating force in terms of him writing The Land Remembers. And, you know, he wanted to make sure that that voice of people and that land itself, which he often said had a voice of its own, that that voice would be told so that more people could hear it. And so I think that comes really through his writing very strongly.
Now, you mentioned Aldo Leopold as you were talking about Ben Logan. Do you see him as being sort of a partner in that land stewardship writing? Do you see his work as going hand in hand with Sanconi Almanac?
Oh, definitely. There's a really strong connection there. Ben was a student of Aldo Leopold's, and he once told me that that Leopold kind of distrusted Ben's emotionalism. He said that generally Leopold was very unemotional, but there was one story that Ben told me about how the first time he saw Leopold pound the podium was a discussion about ecology, and basically he said, you know, you can't, Leopold told Logan in the class, you can't pick up anything one at a time. And basically what he's referring to is that when you take some action with regard to anything, you're affecting other parts of the world as well, that everything is interconnected, which is, you know, really ties in to the whole lesson of ecology and Leopold's concept of a land ethic, that we are, I mean, Leopold said we're a community with the land, that the land is part of us, and it's not merely a commodity that we can use and abuse, but it's something that we should have a relationship with and love and care for. And clearly, you know, that was something that Ben Logan felt very strongly about as well. And those roots of that connection with the land certainly was present while Ben was a little boy on the farm. But, you know, I think the fact that he had the opportunity to study with Leopold and, you know, learn those lessons and have those things reinforced from maybe a more academic perspective, and having heard those things in the terms of ethics, I think certainly had a profound impact on Ben.
We're talking about the life and legacy of Wisconsin author Ben Logan. He passed away last month at the age of 94. And you can share your thoughts and memories of Ben Logan and The Land Remembers at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Did you read his book, The Land Remembered? What about it stuck with you? And why do you think it's resonated with so many people over so many years? And what is it about southwestern Wisconsin that inspires work like this? 800-642-1234 is our number, or you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation in just a moment. But first, Chris Molina joins us here in the studio because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Your gift makes a huge difference. It makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, what a showing we had last hour. 44 new and returning members made their pledges to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much for those pledges.
Well, and right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour up to $1,600, a generous match from current members, including Peggy from Phillips. It means they're going to match each and every dollar you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And it gets better. When you make that pledge, you'll be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Donate any amount during our fall membership drive, and you could travel to the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery, or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France.
Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you might not have a life coach or a personal trainer or your own personal Supreme Court correspondent, but when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And what's the cost to you? Well, this is the great part. You get to choose. The Ideas Network is your affordable source for helpful information. It's a great deal. Because of that, we're asking you to pledge. Make it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You choose, should you win, the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, your address, email, and telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can enter by sending a postcard to that address, or, better yet, you can get entered by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Phone calls, emails, that deadline. Ah, and I have that meeting in half an hour. Ugh. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they call on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you, or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well, then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Make that donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Central Time hosts Rob and Veronica here. Chris Molina, our producer, is in here too, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Whether you give $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
There's not a bad way to support WPR, but one of the best ways is becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. That means you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
A lot of people will give $10 a month or $15 a month, but you get to choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of WPR's budget pie, you know, in fact, the biggest slice, is listener support. While all our funding sources are important, state and federal governments and business, well, they're all important, your contribution, it makes the single biggest difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is, thanks to listeners like you. So please give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jolene from Milwaukee made a contribution. She says, I've been listening for the past year after moving to the area, and I enjoy listening to Joy Cardine in the morning, me too, and Central Time on my way home from work. Thank you. She says, keep up the good work. Well, Jolene, thank you so much. I'm glad you're listening, and thank you so much. Your pledge really does make a difference. Now, how about you? It's your turn. Follow Jolene's lead. Make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's such a great time to make that pledge because we have the dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now up to $1,600. That means whatever amount you pledge, it is going to be doubled by Wisconsin Public Radio listeners like Peggy from Phillips. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking you to make that pledge. Get it doubled. Maximize your impact by going to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thanks.
Fall was the end of harvest, end of the growing season, a glorious burst of color and sun warmth. before killing frost turned the land gray and cold. Fall was a moody time, full of both life and death. A time when we were reminded of the power outside us, reminded that the seasons happen to us. We do not invite the change to come.
That's Carl Schmidt reading from Ben Logan's The Land Remembers, describing a feeling that we here in Wisconsin know all too well. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferry.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Logan passed away late last month at the age of 94, so we're remembering him today. And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. What is it about that Driftless area and Ben Logan's book that stays with us? Our guest now is Tim Jacobson, who helped preserve and protect the land described in the book, Seldom Seen Farm. And we're going to go to a caller first. We've got John with us from La Crosse. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I was a longtime teacher at North Crawford High School, not too far from Seldom Seen Farm, and I had the extraordinary privilege to take a group of high school kids at the end of the year to his house every year to actually see the house after they read the book. And long story short, we had some amazing conversations, and I had kids that did not want to go home on the bus, and the bus came to get us. They wanted to stay with Ben.
Wow.
And he could be intimidating. The kids would be intimidated to see such a famous author, but he's such a warm guy that those feelings melted away quickly. And I just had to say something after 10 years of going to his home and having those students be with me and be with him that somewhere off in the distance, I'd like to thank Ben for those moments because they were extraordinary.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's quite a story, isn't it? Tim, we've got this busload of kids who doesn't want to go home after they're on the farm, hanging out, hearing Ben Logan's stories. I want to ask you, is it about the farm and Ben Logan that were so captivating?
Well, at the Conservancy, we organized a number of nature hikes. So we would, invite the public to come to these events. And, we'd see over and over again how people would travel from considerable distances, sometimes from other states, to come and just to get a chance to walk on the farm and possibly to see Ben. And, John just said is certainly true. He's just very warm, and it's a special place. When people read the book, they feel a connection to that place. And that was so important for Ben to know that land, Seldom Seen Farm, would remain a farm. And so, now that he's gone, fortunately, that conservation easement with the Mississippi Valley Conservancy is in place, and there are people, taking great care of the land and continuing to farm it. And so it's wonderful. Ben would tell me about how folks would come and drive down the road and, peek from their cars or maybe wander into his yard looking at the farmhouse, looking for the maple tree that was such a central part of the book. And he referred to those folks as pilgrims, and it was just kind of fun to hear the stories about how people would come and visit. But
yeah,
Ben was incredibly welcoming.
It does seem like the farm kind of takes on mythic quality, Seldom Seen Farm. And Tim, this is something that you explore in your own work. What is it about that part of the state, the Driftless region and the land there, that maybe makes us look for deeper meanings?
Well, I'm obviously a huge fan of the Driftless area in general, and Ben's farm is, really at the heart of it in so many ways. It was one of the reasons why I co-produced the documentary film Mysteries of the Driftless, which is really a way to feature or showcase the incredible natural aspects of our landscape in southwestern Wisconsin. I mean, the fact that the massive continental glaciers repeatedly surrounded the area but never touched that over the course of millions of years. And, it's an ancient landscape with incredible biodiversity. It's rugged, it's scenic, it's beautiful, and it just has so many special qualities. And the archaeological aspects of the land with the effigy mounds and the ancient rock art in the caves, it's really an amazing place.
Can we still visit it? Can the public still go there?
Well, the farm, there do continue to be organized public hikes. I believe, I think every year since the Mississippi Valley Conservancy entered into the conservation easement with Ben in 2008, we've had guided public hikes. It's not generally open to the public. Obviously there's a public road that goes by and people can drive there. But I encourage folks to, get in touch with the Conservancy and find out when the next public hike will be. There is a private family living in the farmhouse and farming the land, so it's a private residence. But that's the beauty of a private conservation easement is the land can be privately owned, it can be permanently protected. The Conservancy is there to watch out for the land and to monitor it annually. But, it remains a working farm. It is a real farm. It's not a museum. It's an actual functional farm there.
And that was his wish, as I understand it. You helped him bring that wish into reality. You got the conservation easements. You worked with him to get this farm, Seldom Seen Farm, protected. What did it mean to Ben Logan to have his farm preserved and to know that going forward, it would still be a working farm and it would be protected?
Oh, that meant everything to him. He was so concerned about the farm and, maybe a year or two after we worked out the conservation easement with him, he ended up moving into town and, he just wanted to make sure that legacy, the subject of his book would continue to exist and be protected, not be carved up into little parcels or used for something, inconsistent with the character of the land as described in his book.
And we have one more clip from The Land Remembers. Let's listen.
Now in a time of new awareness, I try again. It becomes the story of a farm and its people, a microcosm. For the land cradles all life. The land outlives us all, forever remembering us and writing an epitaph for the good or evil we do to it.
Oh, beautiful. Last lines there from Ben Logan's The Land Remembers. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Tim Jacobson, the CEO of Visionaire Consulting and Communications and executive producer of the documentary film Mysteries of the Driftless. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to our legal affairs correspondent about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision not to hear any same-sex marriage cases.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Veronica here with Chris Molina, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support the programs you rely on. Programs like Central Time. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's such a great time to make a pledge because we do have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including Peggy from Phillips. That means your gift of, let's say, $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200. You get the picture. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs. Maximize your gift. You can only do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Veronica, you've got another great reason to give.
Right. We've got even more to sweeten the deal for you. Pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, maybe an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France. You can double the impact of your pledge and enter the drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, in just 1 month, there are hundreds of discussions that take place here on the Ideas Network. When you support WPR with a pledge, you're essentially making all of these conversations possible. Take that simple but powerful step right now by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And during this fall membership drive, pledges have been coming in from $5 up to multiple thousands of dollars. Maybe you're considering a pledge of $200 a month for the programming essential to your life. The 9XM Leadership Circle gift helps make that possible. Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about the time you spend listening to WPR in the car. You know, weekdays you get news and issues, and on weekends you get laughs and music.
You make great use of your time when you listen in your car, you get where you're going, and you also get information and inspiration. Your life is enriched, your time is fun every time you get behind the wheel.
Your gift helps make the quality time you spend with us in the car, or anywhere possible, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy Cardine. I'll be taking a WPR trip to Alaska, and you could join me. Here's how. This membership drive, we're having a choose-your-own-adventure drawing. If you're the lucky winner, you and your best friend can choose from among three possible trips. When you choose Alaska, we'll take a cruise along the coast, making stops to visit towns, glaciers, and gardens. I hope we'll see plenty of wildlife at a safe distance. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn about all the trips and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with producer Chris Molina, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 a month. Maybe $20 a month fits your budget. Whatever amount you decide on, that's the right amount.
You might think that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else is. Well, WPR has been around for years because remarkable people have made the decision to support something that's important to them.
And now it's time for you to make that decision. Lots of first-time donors give $5 a month to dip their toes in the waters, but you get to choose what works best for you. Make your pledge of support. It's the right time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, you actually get more than what you pay for. WPR is one place where that is true every single day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day creates a lot of learning, music, and news. That works up to $60 a month. Make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Veronica, now is such a great time to get that pledge in because we do have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $1,600. We have a little bit left on that. Get your pledge doubled right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, you can relax because you're automatically entered.
We heard from Gail in Middleton who said, making a donation right now is my good deed for the day. Gail, thank you so much for your contribution. If you're looking to do a little bit of good in your day, looking for that good deed, looking for some good karma, a great way to do it is by making that pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is the single biggest factor in the success of Wisconsin Public Radio. We rely on listener contributions more than anything else. It's so important to us, and that's why we're asking for your support during this membership drive. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thanks.
This morning, the U.S. Supreme Court announced that it would not take up any same-sex marriage cases in the next session. This news immediately affects five states, including Wisconsin, in which federal appeals courts struck down bans on gay marriage. At this time, same-sex marriage licenses are being issued again in Wisconsin.
Here to dig deeper into this news is Kimmy King. She's a professor of political science at the University of North Texas and Central Time's legal affairs correspondent. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
No, good to be here.
Well, were you surprised by this non-decision by the Supreme Court?
You know, actually, no one should be surprised by the non-decision because the Supreme Court receives every year between 8,000 to 10,000 requests for review, and of that, they only accept between 85 to 100. So, statistically, it is not surprising. But when you look at the landscape of gay marriage over the last 4 to 5 years, it is causing quite a bit of uproar around the country because they decided to, in essence, send this message. Don't call us, we'll call you when it comes to gay marriage.
Now, does the Supreme Court give an explanation of why they don't take a case, or if they usually do, did they this time?
Actually, the court rarely gives reasons why they don't accept a case. Usually if they accept a case and then later on they decide to reject it, then they will issue some summary reason, which is usually the writ of certiorari was improvidently granted, meaning, we shouldn't have accepted it. But rarely, if ever, will the court give a reason. All the court has done is that in the application through the writ of certiorari, which literally means to make more certain, the court has said that they are not going to take this case. these cases. The writ of certiorari is discretionary, meaning that the court does not have to give any reason when it sets it out. And so it seems consistent with the court's unwillingness to take the case that they are not going to provide a reason.
But it seems like a lot of people were expecting the court to, wanting the court to, all these lower courts that have sent decisions we've been talking about over the last year or so, the people on both sides of this case, I think, and states for that matter, want clarity from the U.S. Supreme Court and get some kind of final decision here. So why do you think they didn't tackle it?
Well, so the court has to have what is known as the rule of four when a case is to be accepted. And that means that four of the nine justices must be in agreement that the case should be heard. Now, two of the justices may think a case ought to be reversed. Two of the justices might think the case should be upheld. But four of the justices think the case should be heard. It is a very small indication that perhaps they don't have the kind of coalitions that they want for reaching a definitive conclusion. It is alternately the case that the Supreme Court doesn't necessarily think that in this particular instance they need to weigh into it. Recall that after the U.S. versus Windsor decision, in which the court said it could be left to the states to decide the issue of marriage, not the federal government, the court also said that the prohibition on same-sex marriage stigmatized those marriages, and so therefore there is a concern about what the federal government was doing. It may be that the court is still badly divided on this issue, and rather than jump into it, given the shifting tide of public opinion, they are going to stay out.
Now, because they've decided to stay out now, that doesn't mean they'll never come back to it, does it?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, I would suggest, I mean, what is really striking about this decision is now their decision, their refusal to hear the case, means that same-sex marriage is now legal technically in 30 states plus the District of Columbia. Recall that 4 to 5 years ago, those numbers were roughly switched, that before all of the federal courts began weighing in on this. And remember, every single federal court, with the exception of one district court in Louisiana, has said that same-sex marriage violates some provision of due process or equal protection. And so it may be that the court reconsiders this issue in the more difficult, more thorny issue of if the states are allowed to decide same-sex marriage, or can you prohibit same-sex marriage? What about the more difficult issue that the court may have to face on down the road? Does a state that prohibits same-sex marriage have to recognize a same-sex marriage from another state? Does it have to recognize a divorce from a same-sex marriage? I think, if you wanted to ask me what I think, I think that what the court's doing is that it is biding its time, because the more difficult legal issue, which is that of the full faith and credit clause, whether or not states have to recognize each other's same-sex or no same-sex marriage provisions, is the real issue that the court will have to face.
Well, now Wisconsin is in a group of states that had some form of same-sex marriage ban, whether constitutional amendment here in the state or ordinary old-fashioned law in other states. Those have been stricken down by federal courts,
yes.
And that's just where it stands now. Same-sex
that's
marriage
right.
is legal.
That's right. It means that the last decision that was made is the last decision standing. And so in Utah, Oklahoma, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Indiana, those same-sex decisions can begin going forward, the ability to issue license, et cetera. It also means that Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, West Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina automatically follow, because they were under the jurisdiction of the circuit courts in those cases where an appeal was requested.
But there remain states that either haven't had their same-sex marriage ban overturned or don't have a law allowing same-sex marriage. So they're in that status quo still for the foreseeable future,
yes,
right?
It will continue. What it means is that we've got the United States of divided states. They are very divided on this issue. What the net impact is that about 59% of the country's population will live in states allowing same-sex, and then the remainder lives in states that do not have the issue resolved. And what it will mean for sure is those same-sex marriage advocates are going to continue to push rather heavily on those other states to strike down the same-sex prohibitions in those states as well.
So that's the next front we should be watching for legal action, is places where same-sex marriage is currently illegal. We might see federal court challenges in the near future.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but the whole host of issues that go along with marriage. Divorce, recognition of marriage by the other states, adoption issues, custody battles, wills and estates, you know, health care. You are going to see all of the issues that we see involved in heterosexual marriage starting to play themselves out in the courts with same-sex marriage as well.
Now, in a state like Wisconsin, I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court said we're not taking this on, so that means it's been challenged as high as it's going to get in the courts, and this is just it now. We're done for now.
This is it for now. That's correct. But right now, it's game over. And it's, you know, I would say same-sex marriage 2, heterosexual marriage 1, and we've still got about maybe 4 or 5 innings left in the game. The game is not over.
Now, we've seen a steady drumbeat of federal court decisions. Are there, you mentioned there are challenges coming up. Are there places where you're watching for a decision in the next month or two?
You are going to continue to see cases be brought forward because there are currently a number of cases that are on appeal that are working their way through the courts. But I'm going to say that if the court refused to hear it here, I see nothing in those other cases that are going to allow them to hear it on down the road, with the exception of cases where one state is being required to accept the same-sex marriage of another state for either marital purposes or divorce purposes.
We'll leave it there for now, but I'm sure we'll be talking about this again before too long. Kimmy, thanks, as always, for joining us.
You betcha. Keep up the great work, Wisconsin Public Radio.
That was Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, Central Times legal affairs correspondent, with us to talk about the Supreme Court's decision not to take up any same-sex marriage case. Well, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Producer Chris Molina joins me and Veronica here in the studio to ask you to invest just a few minutes of your time to support your future WPR listening. Make a gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob and Veronica, we are having a great hour so far. We had that dollar-for-dollar match, in effect, up to $1,600. I'm glad to report that we have met that goal. We've heard from 24 members of Wisconsin Public Radio this hour. Thank you so much for making your donation and getting it doubled and maximizing your impact. Now, just because we've met that goal doesn't mean the time is over to pledge. You can still make your pledge. Your pledge is still so important right now, but you got to make it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Veronica, you've got another great reason to become a member.
Indeed, I do. You can give any amount and you're entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe. Maybe you'd like to discover Alaska or sample the French lifestyle. Double your donation now, and you can get entered in that drawing at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
In that last interview, we learned what went into that Supreme Court non-decision, their decision not to take up the same-sex marriage cases coming from Wisconsin and other states. That just happened today. It's an example of the up-to-date, timely, interesting information you get here on Central Time every day. We've been following this issue sometimes with news that breaks literally just moments before we go on the air on this issue.
Well, and you know, we're happy to bring you, you know, the news, the information that you count on, but we can't do it without you. Your support makes the many topics we cover every day on the show possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes, and in return, you're going to get so much back. Consider a 9XM leadership gift of $200 a month.
That comes down to less than $8 a day, and it makes the talk, the news, and the music and entertainment you count on from WPR possible. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time we're driving, 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this fall membership drive. It's Central Time. Rob and Veronica here with producer Chris Molina asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $5 a month or $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And when you make that pledge, it is so important to the continued success of Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we're going to need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now, make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're tuning into Wisconsin Public Radio every day, on your way to and from work maybe, while you're making breakfast or dinner, over the lunch hour at work, and then some more over the weekend.
You know, listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is an important part of your life. I dare say your day would probably be different, worse, if you couldn't catch your favorite program. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on, month after month and year after year. So we're asking you to give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Join your friends and neighbors and be part of the Wisconsin Public Radio community. Joseph from Madison said, we're happy to give every fall pledge drive. And Joffrey from Middleton says, I listen to WPR daily, so I feel I should give. That's really at the core of this. If you listen, it makes sense to help support Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge, be part of it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.